Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently in a series looking at one of the greatest examples of a man of God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus as we study with Pastor Nate through the life of Joseph.
And I've called this message this morning, I Can See It. And the reason for that is because discernment, the idea of discernment, is being able to see the right thing in the middle of something that seems fuzzy. And the interesting thing about discernment is I don't think discernment is necessarily choosing good over bad, although it's a part of it. It's discerning the right thing over the wrong thing. But I think also discernment comes choosing the right thing when there's multiple right things. Sometimes, you know, like if you're taking a multiple choice test, there's usually just one right answer, right? Unless it's like all of the above or none of the above. Usually when there's multiple choice, there's one right answer. Sometimes in life, that's not always the case. Sometimes there's five doors in front of you and two of the five doors are technically the right answer. Like, what college should I go to? Going to college is the right answer for a lot of you. Some of you, you've sought the Lord and college isn't right for you, and that's okay. Sometimes you look at a door, there's multiple doors, and there's multiple right answers. And discernment is knowing the right answer. Discernment is knowing, okay, this is not only the right answer, but this is God's will for my life. And discernment allows us to see God's will in the midst of lots of right answers. And so what we see in our text this morning is that Joseph is able to discern the right in the midst of multiple rights, and it teaches us discerning when we're going through life. And discernment is an important, really important thing to have as a Jesus follower, because you're going to find opportunity, you're going to have situations where you have multiple right answers. It's the things, let's put it this way, it's the things that the Bible is not clear about. There's some things that the Bible is black and white about. The Bible is very clear about certain things. And then there's other things where it's kind of left to your convictions. It's left to the way God's speaking to you. It's left to the decisions you've made. And so how do we discern the right in the gray areas? So Joseph is in prison, and he teaches us some things about discernment. We're going to start in chapter 40. It says, "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers and the chief, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while." Now, we just got to pause for just a second. Notice that the person that made Joseph in charge was the captain of the guard. This is important because the person that Joseph worked for, the wife of the person that came onto him, was the captain of the guard. So here Joseph is in prison, and the captain of the guard, Potiphar, the guy that he used to work for, is now putting Joseph in charge of the prisoners. What does that tell us? It tells us that I don't think Potiphar really bought the whole thing that his wife came on to Joseph. I think it shows us that maybe the situation that was very clear, that not only was he wrongly accused, but he was also wrongly convicted. And so he's in prison, and the captain of the guard, knowing Joseph didn't even do it, and now Joseph finds favor again with Potiphar. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? That God can use this, even though it's clearly wrong, it's clearly not the right response. That's kind of free information. Continuing on. "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each one's man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officer who were with him in custody of his lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We have each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.' Then the chief butler told him his dream to Joseph and said, 'Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from my land of the Hebrews, and I also have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. We're going to pause right there. So the story, they both have dreams. We'll look at the other interpretation in just a moment. They both have dreams. They're upset because they don't understand them. So Joseph's like, well, tell them to me and I'll interpret them. And Joseph really goes out on a limb and says the interpretation of the dream, because in 3 days, they're going to find out whether he was right or wrong. Right? It's not like he said in 3 years from now. Or like in a long, long time from now. He says 3 days. So they just had to wait 3 days to find out if Joseph was accurate. Now, Joseph, he interprets the dreams. And then really what I want you to notice is that Joseph, we see that Joseph has to discern something. And what he has to discern is whether or not he was going to wait on the Lord to get him out, or if he was going to work to find his own way out. Joseph, after he interprets the dream, he asked the butler to do something. He said, listen, guy, when you leave here and everything's restored for you, I want you to remember me, what I've done for you, the kindness that I show, the goodness that I showed, and I want you to come back and get me out of prison. What Joseph is doing is trying to figure out his own way out of prison. And what I want you to see, the discernment part of it, is we have to learn to discern the difference between waiting and working. Joseph is in prison, and he sees an opportunity to help these other guys out of prison, so in return, they will help him out of prison. Do you see that? Joseph wasn't sitting around in prison waiting for God to miraculously open the door and set him free. Although God can do that. The book of Acts, Paul and Silas are in prison. The heavens shake, the doors fly open, they leave. The same thing with Peter. Heavens shake, doors fly open, they leave. God can absolutely supernaturally make them set free from prison. But Joseph wasn't just sitting around waiting. He was working. He was doing something to get himself out of prison. After he interprets the dream, he asks for their help. And Joseph could very easily sat idly by waiting for God to break him free, but he didn't. He trusted God, but he also put in work. Listen, a lot of times we wait around for God to do something supernatural in our lives. Maybe it's to break us free from some sin that we're in bondage to. And we sit around and we're still involved in the sin and we're like, God, you better stop me. Like, that's a lot of times how we assume God's going to break us out of sin. What we have to understand is that God often does the supernatural through the practical. God often opens prison doors when we're looking for a way out. God often sets us free from situations when we're working to get set free. That the supernatural and the natural often go hand in hand. God rarely just intervenes. Now, he does intervene. He will chase us down. He's relentless in his pursuit of us. But there are times where God literally will set us free when we're working to get set free. That the supernatural and the natural, the practical, often go hand in hand. And so Joseph, here he is in prison. He's waiting on God. But he's also looking for a way out. He's waiting on God, but he's looking for a way out. He's waiting and he's working. But, and this is the discernment part, there are times where we have to discern whether we're supposed to wait or work. There are some things that God is calling you to wait on and not work towards. Because there are certain things that we tend to take into our own hands and do things our own way rather than waiting on the Lord. Over and over the Bible makes it very clear that we are to wait on the Lord. The Bible talks about that our strength is found when we wait on the Lord. Our deliverance is often found when we wait on the Lord. And so there is a time and a place where we are supposed to wait and not work, but there's also a time where we're supposed to work and not wait. That's sort of the gray area. How do we discern between the two? You're in a situation right now, and you're not sure if you're supposed to wait on God to do something or if you're supposed to work to overcome it. And now here you are. You're like, I don't know what to do. And discernment is difficult. Here's the key. This is an important key, so don't miss it. Wait on desires to align. Work towards accomplishing. I think oftentimes there's a huge disconnect between God's desires for my life and my desires for my life. There's a huge gap between the two. And really my goal for my life is to make that gap smaller. I want my will for my life and I want God's will for my life to not be two radically different things. I want them to line up. And when those things line up, when my desires and God's desires line up, then we have permission to work towards accomplishing. We don't have to wait around anymore. We should wait to make sure that my desires and God's desires are the same. And when those things intersect, then we work towards accomplishing. Once those two things happen, the Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. Here's the catch. Our desires have to be God's desires. God will give you your desires when your desires line up with God's desires. And so what we have to understand is discerning between waiting and working is we wait until things align and then we work towards accomplishing. And once those two things connect, then we work towards what God has for us. We're waiting on our desires to align, and once they align, we're working towards accomplishing. Now, the waiting doesn't mean we're doing nothing. The waiting means we're focused on God, we're living pleasing to Him, we're doing what He's asked us to do, we're staying faithful with where we're at so that we can continue to be faithful where we will be. But we got to make sure we're not just sitting around. We're waiting. We're focused. As soon as they align, we're working. So we're discerning, waiting, and working. All right, let's continue the story because it gets interesting. Verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also want my dream interpreted. Now, here it was. There was three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds, they ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, the three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head, not lift up your head, lift off your head from you, and you hang on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Bummer. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief baker, or the chief butler, and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership, that's a cool word, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So we have this other dream. This other dream, very similar. There's three items. There's the three, before the butler was, in a sense, he was the cupbearer. He would taste the food for the king a lot of time, make sure he wasn't poisoned, things like that. He had a lot to do with wine and things like that. So he had the wine, he had the fruit of the vine, all of these things. He gives it back. The guy says, you're going to be set free. Everything's going to be great. The baker was a baker, so he had lots of baked goods. In his dream, he's got the baked goods. It seems like it's the same, but the ending is totally different. One guy's head gets lifted up, one guy's head gets lifted off. Here's what I think that Joseph has to discern and what we have to discern. We have to learn to discern comforting and confronting. The second dream's interpretation isn't a fun one. You hear that dream and Joseph is like, really? Come on. The other one, the guy was so happy. Like, why couldn't you have told me the bad news first? Like, this guy was so happy, he's going to get set free, everything's great. And the other guy's like, oh, it's good news. Like, all right, my turn. And he's like, oh, sorry, guy, you're going to die. 3 days, birds are going to eat you. It's going to be rough. And Joseph has to bear the bad news. He has to confront. Now, most people believe in the story that the baker actually did something to deserve death. There was a reason why they were both in prison, right? There's a reason why both of them were thrown into jail. And what history tells us, what scholars believe, is that there was a conspiracy that somebody had attempted to poison the king. And so what we assume is that it was actually the baker that tried to do it. And so he was actually, not because the king was like annoyed at him, but because he actually had done something to try and kill the king. And so he's dealing with it. So really the capital punishment was right. It was something that was deserved. But Joseph still had to be the one to deal with the bad news. We live in a culture that hates confrontation. We hate being told what to do. We hate being told that we're wrong. And I think even more so, we hate being the ones to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes going, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and it's offending people, and it's wrong, and you shouldn't be doing it. We live in a culture that really just allows people to do whatever they want. Because partially, we're like, oh, it's their life, they can do whatever. If that makes them happy, go for it. Or we don't want to be the ones that have to really stand in the gap and be the one that says, listen, what you're doing is wrong. And so we just let people do whatever they want with no consequences. But there is a time where we have to stand before somebody and we have to say, hey, listen, what you're doing, it isn't okay. What you're doing is wrong. And there is a time and a place to do that. So how do we determine when to correct somebody? How do we determine when it's time to confront a person when their actions are wrong? I think this is the key for this one. If what they're doing is wrong or harmful to them or the people around them. If people are involved in things that are hurting them and the people around them, it is our job as followers of Jesus to confront. To say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. It is not helpful. It's hurting you. It's hurting your relationship with God. It's hurting the people around you. There is a time for us to confront. But the goal is always restoration. The goal is never just to be right. There's also a time to comfort. There are times when people are doing things wrong and the proper response is not correction, it's comfort. So how do we discern between the two? How do you know when your friend is doing something stupid, is it the time to go to them and say, hey, you're doing stupid? Or when it's time to go to them and say, listen, God loves you and you can come back and you don't need to worry about this. What's the difference? I think this is the key. Usually it's time to comfort when the person that's doing wrong knows what they're doing is wrong. When you look at somebody and they're like, I know I'm broken. I know I messed up. I don't want to be doing this anymore. Will you help me? And so the goal for us is to look at them and say, okay, you don't need to be confronted because you know you're wrong. And so now it's just time to comfort. God still loves you. There's grace for that. You can come back. You can always come back. You can be restored. You can be forgiven. You don't have to stay like that. You can come back. And so the discernment, comfort, confront, where's the line? If they haven't been confronted, if they haven't repented, if they haven't changed, confront. If they know their brokenness, comfort. And this story, he teaches us discernment. No longer is he comforting, he's confronting because he knows there's a time and a place. The story continues. I'm not going to read it because it's a lot of words. But in chapter 41, king has a dream, King Pharaoh. He has a dream, and basically in the dream, he has a dream that cows, big fat cows, come out of the water. I don't know what, maybe they were manatees. Anyways, so the cows come out of the water, big fat cows, and then small skinny cows come out of the water too, and the skinny cows eat the fat cows. And he's like, that was really weird. And then what he tells us later is that even when the skinny cows eat the fat cows, they stay skinny. And then he has a second dream. The same night he wakes up, he's like, that was weird. Falls back asleep. He has a second dream that there was heads of grain. I don't know what heads of grain are doing eating other heads of grain, but there were fat heads of grain and there were skinny heads of grain, and the skinny ones eat the fat ones. And he wakes up and he's like, this is a really weird dream. And so he tells it to his magicians and his interpreters and things like that, and they've got no answer for him. And then the butler remembers Joseph. 2 years pass, and the butler remembers Joseph. And he goes, I totally forgot. Oh my gosh, there's this guy in prison, and he told me that in 3 days I was going to be let free. And in 3 days, the other guy, remember, you cut off his head. He was going to get his head cut off. And it was crazy. This guy can interpret your dream. And so the butler, remember Joseph, he brings him to interpret the dreams. And then look what happens, 41 verse 25. It says, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So he says, the dreams that you have, they're the same dream. They're different sort of things that happen, but they're saying the same thing. What they're saying is 7 years of plenty are going to happen. You're going to have more food than you're going to know what to do with. And then immediately after, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And the famine is going to be so bad, you're going to forget about the 7 years of plenty. That's the dream. And he says, there's two of them because it's happening. The second was to confirm the first. It wasn't, God isn't changing his mind. This is what is happening. And the third thing, we'll wrap up with this, discerning confirmation and a closed door. Confirmation and a closed door. Joseph recognized that these two different dreams meant the same thing and confirmed the interpretation. He says multiple times, the two dreams are one. The two dreams are the same. Even though you had different pictures, they're saying the same message. And one of the most difficult things to discern in life is what is a closed door and what is confirmation to keep going. What is a closed door? When is it that God no longer wants me going in that direction and he wants me going that direction? And the reason it's so difficult is because the Bible says not only do we have physical difficulties that are coming against us, but we also fight spiritual battles. And there are times when things that seem like a closed door are actually the enemy keeping you from your destiny, and God wants you to keep going. But then there's other times when the opposition is God closing the door and saying, turn around, this isn't for you. It's a difficult thing to discern. Okay, I'm walking in a direction. I've waited for my life to align with God. I'm now working towards accomplishing. I'm going the right direction, and things are difficult. Things aren't going the way I want them to be. Things are hard. How do I know if God is telling me no, or if the enemy of the Christian is trying to keep me from my purpose that God wants me to walk in? I want you to see one thing that Joseph saw that helped him to see the confirmation. And Joseph saw the repeat as confirmation. We only talked about a couple of things that we have to discern. And I think these are big ones, right? Wouldn't you say that waiting on the Lord or working towards a goal is a big one? When is it time to confront, and when is it time to comfort? When is it time for me to stop because it's a closed door? And when is it time for me to keep going because I'm not sure if this is what God has for me? So quickly, I want to give you two things that help us discerning what we're to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, look at this. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Listen, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What we need is the word of God in our life. You want to help discerning situations? God, I don't know. Is this a closed door, or is this you confirming me to keep going? God, am I supposed to confront this person, or am I supposed to comfort this person? Am I supposed to wait, or am I supposed to work? God, what am I supposed to do? The word of God is a discerner of the heart. And so we need to make sure that God's word is in our lives. And when God's word is in our lives, he will help us to discern what we need to do. When there's multiple rights, which is the right right? Second thing, very quickly, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Turning, Romans 12, verse 2. It says this, you know this verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect will of God. That word prove is the same word discern. What he's saying is that we need to have further transformation in our life if we're going to have help discerning. So listen, we need the word of God, and we need to ask God, God, transform me. I don't want to be like me anymore. I want to be like you. I don't want to be stuck in the same old situation, in the same old skin. God, I want transformation from the inside out. I want you to make me who you want me to be. We need transformation in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And when that happens, we'll be able to discern what God wants us to do.
We sing glory, glory.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gavin. Have a blessed week and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.